everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 478. This is the 478th edition here in the fine history of the Caffeination podcast. If you are looking for this or any of the other content, you can find it all lovingly nestled over at www.caffination.com. That is this, a whole bunch of other fun articles, all the episodic content that you could possibly stick into an iPod and maybe even more, as well as a whole bunch of other fun little things. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and everybody's listed over at techpodcasts.com. All right, since this is the 478th show, we're going to be bringing the funk with a side order of the noise. I'm the funk, and here is with me is the noise.
Of course it is, Steve.
All right, and this is going to be the Hardy Art Show. Because they rhyme, there's a show about, there's a story about art, there's a story about some hearts going on, and we were originally going to call it the Towels from Heaven Show, because as we were starting to record the show, my wife threw some towels down the stairs into the caffeination lair, which doubles as a laundry room. So, yeah, you know, we are keeping it classy here down in the lair today. We have a lot of really fun stuff to talk about for you. We have some really good April Fool's jokes. We have some things that probably should have been caught by the old fake-o-meter, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. Anything that you're particularly looking forward to talking about?
The retro gaming.
Oh, gotta love retro gaming. We actually broke up some of the stuff that is coming at you today into two big sections. Of course, we usually have the Geekcruft and the food and caffeinated bits as per usual. We also have two smaller sections that exist within the actual podcast itself. We have the Hard Times Art Hour section, and we have the Nostalgia section that are all going to be slightly indented if you're following along with the readers at home. there's a whole bunch of really interesting stories that kind of fit under those two distinct little sections, so we just wanted to kind of separate them out so, you know, we could follow along with the group here. I don't know, but I would really like to thank everybody who's been sending in stories, ideas, everybody who's been passing along content and visiting the page. We've noticed that there's been a lot more visitors to the actual site itself over the past couple weeks that we've been working together between Steve and myself, and we've been putting a lot more content out on the blog. So it's always really good to notice that people are stopping by, people are commenting every once in a while. So if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything you'd like to see us talk about, or things you'd wish we would just leave alone already, please feel free to email me at paul@caffeination.com or
email me at steve@caffeination.com.
And the best part about working together like we have been for the past couple shows is that we really don't have to do as much editing after the fact. It's been a little bit quicker the past couple times, wouldn't you say?
It's getting quicker.
So, you know, I think Steve's finally finding his own voice within the podcast, and I've been telling him over and over again, the first about 35 shows that I did, I absolutely hated, can't even listen to him. It seriously sounds like somebody has Pinocchio going on, so I think he is doing head and shoulders above all that. So, the tingle means it's working. So, we have a great lineup for you today, so we're just going to dive right on into it. We have one that's not originally on the docket, but I think Steve and I have both been playing around with it. Steve just started today, and I've been doing a little bit of playing with this. Zay Frank, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, has a new project coming up, and it's called Star.me. And if you've heard me talk about attaboys and o-poopies here on the Caffeination podcast before, it's not just because we have to keep the show G-rated. I had a boss a long time ago who was very hardcore about a lot of other things, and what he did was he actually said, you get an attaboy every time you do a good job, and 10 attaboys are erased by one o-poopy. And from a guy who worked blue, as the easiest way to actually put it, for a guy who really kind of pushed the limit in a lot of other areas, it was kind of funny to hear him talk about it in that fashion. And, you know, I always try and share the good news when I'm talking to other people, but Star.me is a new thing from Zay Frank, and it's meant to be kind of a lighthearted thing, but basically you can give somebody a gold star if they're doing a good job. You can share the wealth. You can make somebody smile a little bit. I actually sent a smile to my wife. I sent a smile to everybody else. It's kind of fun. So if you'd like a beta invite, which is basically a star. Hey, send a comment into the Caffeination podcast. Leave your correct email address, and I will send you, either Steve or myself, actually, will send you a fun little star, and then you can get up all in this as well, because it's kind of funny. My username is, of course, Caffeination, and Steve's is Monkey with a 3 for an E. So what do you think so far of the service? Because you just started using it today.
Yeah, I literally just started using it. It's a neat idea, you know. I'm enjoying it. It's getting addicting, actually.
It's funny. You can literally share these funny little things back and forth, and having two laptops firing off at the same point in time, it's kind of interesting to see the different things that pop up as we're going through. So, for instance, I just gave Steve a little good job star for showing up to work today for the Caffeination podcast.
That's right.
And and he gave me another one just for being me. It's always good to have a star for being me. So if you'd like a little affirmation, the only thing is you can't send a star to yourself. You have to actually participate in the community. You can send stars to random people. There's a fun little top stars thing so you can see who's the most caffeinated. Now, I'm trying to get this one. So if you actually end up coming into the little wonderful circle of star.me, please nominate me for the biggest coffee fiend. Right now, there's only one person has two big coffee or caffeine stars. His name's Caffeine. I'm Caffeination. He's only the actual chemical symbol. I am the entire nation of caffeine. So I need to have this biggest coffee fiend thing. So if you send that to me, I would be very happy. Hot cocoa is great. You actually got to earn the coffee fiend one, so it's a little harder to get. So we'll see if we can do this. But I want to have that. That's just something I need for me. Is there anyone in particular you saw that you think you need to get?
No, I got the monkey star. I'm good.
All right, there's a whole bunch of other fun games that are going along. And as with anything with Zay Frank, there's going to be some stuff that gains traction. It's probably going to be incorporated into a bunch of other little fun projects that are going out there. So if you're just interested, if you have any other comments about it, please feel free to drop us a line or send us a star. We already told you our usernames. All right, now the first little thing we got for you here. The funny thing about the Star of Me was it actually launched on the day before April Fool's, so everybody thought it was a joke. Fortunately, March 31st is actually Zay's birthday, so the first thing he said was, you know, you had to, I think the code was Pretty Pretty Princess, and you could get, and he put it out on Twitter, you need to follow him, Zefrank, he's just a hoot and a holler, all rolled up into one, but, he put out there and said, you know, if you go on over to star.me and put in the code Pretty Pretty Princess, you will get a an invite. So I did that, and yes, for a short little time, I was a Pretty Pretty Princess. Steve, however, did not need that. Steve was lucky enough to just get a little monkey star from me to get his thing up and running. Would you have been a Pretty Pretty Princess?
No, I would not have been a Pretty Pretty Princess.
Oh, come on. You have to be comfortable in your podcasting self to be a Pretty Pretty Princess.
You can be comfortable with the Pretty Pretty
Princess. I am very comfortable with the Pretty Pretty Princess. I have to get ready for the tea parties for the girl, you know? Hey, come on. Uncle Steve's going to have to be involved in that, too.
That's right.
All right. We have a lot of really cool stuff, so we're going to dive into the rest of it now. You're all very lucky. My version of a attempt at a piece of humor for on April Fool's was to put a bit of Lorem Ipsum up there, which is the nonsense stuff that's put together, and complete with primary no-frills graphic elements and additional no-frills graphic elements. It was 5 pages of Latin jargon, and it says, times are hard. You can't expect new content every day. I also, what did I do to the actual site that kind of got you a little worried?
That was the fact that you changed just about everything. The whole outline, everything was pretty much white. It was a definitely a different look.
So you didn't like that one?
No, I didn't like it at all.
So we went monochrome for a whole day. We lost all color. It was kind of like the stars were out. Unfortunately, nobody really bit, and that was the lowest number of page views that we had in quite some time. So not only did people not get the joke, but they didn't share it either. So we reverted back before the end of the day. But there are a ton of other really fun stuff, the things that were actually shown, and it was really cool. Unfortunately, there's one that I didn't catch. So as I was collecting all of these great stories to talk to you about today, I found the most perfect technology thing that I had ever seen. seen. It was actually shared by my friend Mark Schoenenveld, who's a great music blogger from Philadelphia. I've met him at podcamps and everything. He's an awesome dude, and I always mispronounce everybody's last name, so I'm sorry, Mark, if you end up hearing this. But it was great to see this, because basically it's a little cartridge that fits into a regular 35mm camera. Only problem was, it was a digital conversion for an analog camera. And what happened with that, Steve?
Oh, you got played.
Yeah, I got played pretty bad. apparently, it was a design attempt by a design firm from Germany. So I did not have the correct papers, and they punked me, as you would say in the Americas. Well, they were nice enough to actually post a comment here. It says, RE35 does not really exist. We, the design company of Rohr and Pott, created RE35 as an exercise in identity design. We invented the product because it was something that we had wished for in a long time, and many others. And they actually have something up on the website that says it's fake, unfortunately. And you know what? I really was a little bit upset. I actually called my dad before. Like, I'm sad. But I called my dad as soon as I saw the product. I was like, I just put in for a media kit for this. I really hope that I get it. Because then, you know, we can play with all the old lenses and stuff that you have. That would just be fantastic. Yeah, doesn't exist. No way to do it so far. But hey, if there's any of you smart people out there that happen to think about something like this, and you do it and you want to have some place to test it out, just send one my way. Or just send another joke in a year. I'll probably have forgotten already. There's a whole bunch of other really, really good stuff that we're going to talk about. But I also put up a little guide on how to print better pictures, taking off the whole RE35 thing. I've talked about it before, but it's been a little while since we've been back to it. The easiest way to print better pictures is to go through the proper steps, and the easiest way to understand all that is to kind of understand a little bit about color theory. I know this is kind of boring, but everything that you see is made up of the primary colors of light. Everything is RGB. So it's red, it's green, it's blue. If you ever got really close to an old TV, you saw those pixels show up, and they were always those three colors. When you print something out, the really old school normal inkjet printers had four colors of ink. They had cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. That's because those are the three primary colors plus black of ink. The two processes are completely different. If you have all of the colors present at any one point in time, it's white light. If you have all of the pigments present at any one point in time, it's black ink. So it's very hard to reproduce the same amount of colors in the two different spaces. So I gave you a little guide on how to properly set up the different programs that you're using to actually take advantage of this. And we're going to be doing a couple little series on these how-tos over the next couple weeks. The next thing we're actually going to do is how to be a designer with no software budget. So I'm actually going to give you a couple little tips on some of the fun pieces of design software that are out there. And we're hopefully going to pull some of the stuff out that way. All right, now the next little thing that we have for you is the end-all and be-all of April Fool's tech roundups from over at slashgear.com. Are there any favorites that you had on that one?
Oh, with
Yeah, the Slash Gear one, where they actually went down all of the different April Fool's jokes that were listed from the different companies between Google, ThinkGeek, YouTube, everything else.
I liked YouTube. I thought YouTube was actually pretty good. When I first popped up on YouTube, I saw the 1911. I had no idea what it was. The YouTube 1911, basically what it was is a lot of the videos that they would show actually came up as they would back in that time, grainy pictures. And it actually turned out pretty well.
There was a fun little button there that no matter what video you picked, if you clicked it, you could create a link to send somebody to it so that it would look like it was old-timey. In fact, they would even stop and only take certain frames of the video.
Right.
So, like, the music was muffled at best. They did I think they even had, like, an overlay of, like, organ music or something like that. It was, like, you know, really cool, kitschy old stuff. They also revamped five old viral classics, and it was kind of cool. I love ThinkGeek stuff. They always have fantastic things over there, so you can head on over to thinkgeek.com and actually check that out. Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, the owner of Virgin Airlines, has announced that he has bought Pluto and has a set an example for struggling entrepreneurs facing setbacks. He's bought Pluto and plans to reinstate it as a planet. As something only a billionaire could do, that would probably be a little bit within his realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Much more so than anything we could do. The Pirate Bay also won eBay in an auction. Hulu reverted to a 1996 theme, complete with horrible frames. And there was a whole bunch of other funny things that were out there. One of my favorites that I was not expecting at all and isn't in this roundup is I was trying to show one of my student workers how to collect palettes for doing web design. And I was trying to show him colorlovers.com. Now, it's spelled the British way. It's C-O-L-O-U-R. lovers.com, and it's all it is like people take pictures of different areas and then they pull different palettes out of it, you know, that are really kind of fun and pretty and everything. On April Fool's, the entire site was monochrome. And the funny thing is they did it, you know, a lot better than I would have. The entire site, everything was shades of black, gray, and white. It was horrible because I couldn't find out how to turn it off because I was actually trying to show the kid how it worked. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, and there's a whole bunch of other ones. You can actually check out the full Slash Gear article. Now, if you remember on the last show, I talked a little bit about the fear thing from Mitch Joel's presentation from TEDx at Concordia. And fear is basically false evidence appearing real. I for some reason, this really resonated with me. So I just did a little sketch over lunch and had a wisp of smoke that eventually turned into the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper's not originally supposed to be there. There was a big mess up behind the R, so the ghosts look a lot better than the Reaper does. But it's something that I'm working on. So if there's something that you found out, how do you shake ideas out? You know, that's something I'm always interested in. If there's a song stuck in your head or something like that, how do you get it out, Steve?
I don't.
You just live with it.
I live with it.
It just rattles around until something else replaces it.
Especially, you know, that bop right now that's stuck in my head.
We're both doing the 30-day song challenge on Facebook, and Steve's least favorite song is Bop by Hanson.
I'll be singing that all night.
So, that's what he's rocking out. My least favorite was TikTok by Kesha. So there you go. You can discuss that at will. But the way I always shake things out when there's something stuck in my head is I doodle, I draw, I have to get something out. And as soon as it's on paper, all of a sudden, you know, it just floats on by, and I'm all right. All right, next little thing we have for you here. This was not an April Fool's Day joke. This actually exists. It is available for £10.99, I think is the correct thing. And it is all available over at gunbrella.co.uk. It is a gun-shaped handle, and when you open up the umbrella, it says...
Bang.
It's a nice big red umbrella with a white starburst in it with a big, you know, the onomatopoeia right there. I think they also need to have a converse one that has a fist there that opens up and says pow. And I think it would be perfect for any Batman that you actually wanted to have going on. I think this is really cool. I would buy that. What about you?
I'm thinking about it, actually. That's a neat idea.
This is kind of a takeoff of another thing. Well, this is separate. Completely, but there was another thing that actually turned out to be an April Fool's prank, but it was a retractable leash that looked like a gun. The leash itself was red, so that it looked like you were firing a tracer bullet into the back of your dog, or you were walking your dog at gunpoint. I'm sorry, it looked so real that it couldn't have been real. I would actually buy it, though, just because I think it's really funny. I'd actually get it for a couple of the cops that I know, specifically the ones that are on K-9, because I think that would be really cool. How means that dog, you gotta walk him around with a gun. Alright, sticking with the nostalgia thing, and we're diving right into the Hard Times Art Hour. This is a funny little tongue twister that Zay Frank did. I didn't put the link up there. We're not actually going to play it here because it's hard to listen to without getting that stuck in your head. But I found a bunch of really fun, really kind of interesting little plays on different characters, and Steve and I are going to take a couple of the other ones. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Voltron, Steve's going to talk a little bit about Batman, I'm going to talk about Lumber, and then Steve's going to talk a little bit about the hard art. So the first one that we actually found was Voltron de las Coloquettes, or I have no clue how to pronounce that, by Hilary White. This is a reproduction of a famous painting. It's an impressionist painting by Claude Monet, and the idea of it was to actually place Voltron in it. Now, I love Voltron. I think Voltron's one of the best 80s brand sitcoms that's actually, or not sitcoms, cartoons that's out there, rather. It had a very formulaic storyline, had good people, had bad people, and really nothing in between, I wouldn't say. So it's kind of easy on the eyes for the kids as well. My son actually thinks Voltron is a current cartoon, so if you don't say that to anybody. Don't tell him that actually existed when I was a kid. Unfortunately, I'm going to have a little explaining to do, Lucy, because Voltron actually is coming back. Yes, that's correct. Voltron is going to be coming back to the TV. Defender of the Universe, indeed. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit about the different variations on it. Next little piece of art is...
It is indeed the Simon C. Page Hero and Villain. And what this is actually is a poster, and it's what you would call an optical illusion. And pretty much shows Batman and... I honestly have to say, on the other side, if you look at it, it looks like almost like Birdman. But
really, you think Birdman?
With the nose.
But what about Penguin?
Penguin definitely, especially with the Batman. But if you didn't put Batman in the picture, it kind of looks like Birdman, I think.
Like Birdman or the Vulture?
I'm probably thinking of the Vulture.
Okay, I don't know, but yeah, I think it's really cool. It's a little bit of the dichotomy between the superhero and the villain.
The villain, yeah.
And Batman, of course, is black. It's in silhouette. It's kind of like that optical illusion from where you turn it one way and it's an old woman, and you turn it the other way. It's a young girl. You ever
yes.
seen that?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The thing is, it's like what has been seen cannot be unseen. It's like once you see the reverse, you're always pulling the different images out. So even when Batman's upside down, it just looks like the dude's hanging upside down. Because frankly, Bats is like that. All right, now the next little thing I saw was really, really kind of crazy. It's Vincent Kohler's Billion. And this is not billion, but it's rather a deconstructed log. And I never really thought about lumber like this, but and there's no reason why it deserves a place on the Caffeination podcast other than the fact that I think it's really cool. It's basically you take a log and you explode it into all of the different cuts of wood that it's possible to get out of it. And the only thing that's not used is the bark that's on the outside. And the only lumber that anybody seems to have taken is that there's no 2x4 listed. But they have, a 4x4, they have, a 1x3, they have planking, they have shims, they have everything else. And it's just really kind of neat to see how one tree lives on. So I just thought it was cool. We wanted to pass it along to the group. If you'd like to see more of Vincent Kohler's stuff, you can head on to vincentkohler.ch and enjoy the rest of his stuff. He has some really kind of cool, interesting, deconstructed pieces. And the last piece we got is...
An anatomical heart made up of entirely of the words of the...
It's one guy's dissertation. His entire dissertation on particular cardiac arrhythmia. I can't remember what cardiac arrhythmia is, but I'm pretty sure if we bought the poster, we could probably read it.
Probably.
But the cool thing about it is, as a way to kind of, preserve his dissertation, because most dissertations, after they're written, are just printed out, stuck in a library, and nobody ever reads them. They're never
right.
enjoyed. And there's a ton of work that goes into this. I mean, people spend, the better part of their life working on this research. This is the fruit of their mind that's laid bare, and then it's ripped apart by different panels that are judging it. And after it's done, nobody enjoys it half the time. So this guy basically turned it into a poster where he segmented different parts out and turned it into an anatomical representation of a heart between the blue, the red, and a little heartbeat that's at the bottom just through a font color. So I thought it was pretty cool. Would you put this on your wall?
Oh yeah, I would definitely put it on the wall.
Maybe we'll learn a little something in the process. A little aorta going on, little ventricles. I thought it was pretty neat, so I wanted to share with the group. Now the next story we got for you here is out of the game room. This is the retro handheld games. Did you ever have any of these, Steve?
You know what? I did have a couple of these games. I forget exactly what games these were, but these type of games kept me busy, especially on road trips. These were fun, and I'm hoping for them to come back.
if you were not where you could just buy a Game Boy back in the day, these things actually existed long before I think console games even, but they're kind of like cel-shaded animation, and it's like there's only a couple different things. They're very repetitive. They had very, very simple soundtracks, if right. you could even call it that. It was like my mom hated the noise from the baseball game, because yeah. as you were running around, did you have that one?
You know what? I think I had something like it, yeah. And the sound was a...
I mean, your mom hates the noise from any game.
Oh, any game is just horrible for her.
And she's missing out on some good soundtracks.
She definitely is.
But the noise from the baseball game as you were running around the diamond was beep, 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 bee-dee, beep, beep, and like that was when you hit one base, and it was that slow, and like including when the ball was being pitched, and it was just through different illuminations of different cells, it would actually show the ball thrown, and it had like two different animated positions for each player. Well, there's a great little website from the fine folks at Hippotam Studio called Pika Pick. I originally thought it was Pika Pika, but it's not. It's Pika Pick, and it's a recreation of all of these different little games that existed, and they're a really kind of crazy, trippy studio, and they have a really weird website with blinking eyes and all other kinds of stuff. But the Pika Pick stuff, it lists all these different handheld games that used to exist, from Zelda to Paperboy to Bartman, the Avenger of Evil, and you can actually play them online, which is really cool. I spent a little bit of time. You know what? They have their place in history, and unlike so many things, I don't think I want to ruin them by playing them again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different things now. Both Steve and I have DSs, and like there's certain games that make this thing work, like card games. Your dad is addicted to playing, I think is it Blackjack or Free Cell?
It's Free Cell.
And that's all. He actually has it hacked up on his own right. He found out that the brightness of the screen was enhanced if you taped over the light sensor. So he has it like wrapped in duct tape so that it's nice and bright, and he could just sit there playing for hours. It actually has like his thumbprints worn into the buttons.
Oh yeah, I gave that to him for Christmas. Like years ago.
Like four or five years ago,
yeah.
Yeah, so he's worn holes in it, the battery door's coming off, but he loves the heck out of it. So card games, yes, I'm not thinking for baseball anymore. I'm thinking that you might have to upgrade for that one.
I might have to, yeah.
So, but if you'd like to relive the good old days, and we're not talking Commodore 64 style, then you might want to head on back and over to go peek-a-peek, and you can check that one out. All right, next thing we have, Voltron is coming back to TV. It is going to be debuting on the Nicktoons lineup, and it's called Voltron Force. There appear to be all five lions. They look kind of shifted from their previous incarnation. I think they still kept a lot of the different features on the different ones, so they actually show you some of the... Like all the lions looked slightly different. So even if they didn't have color at all, you could probably tell which one was which. The blue lion always looked, you know, more like a puma, even though they were all supposed to be lions. The red lion always had like these crazy little fire fangs going off the yeah. shoulders. And the black lion was always bigger and bulkier than the rest of them. It's because they actually had to fit together to form something. So I really hope the entire toy line comes out. It really looks like it might be coming back. And the cool thing about this is that if they're doing it right, then this is going to be the next generation of heroes. Do you remember the storyline behind it?
Not entirely.
Okay,
no.
the start of the Voltron, they always say that, you know, ages gone by, heroes got together and formed Voltron, Defender of the Universe, and then when he was needed, he disappeared. So let's just take the five seasons or the five discs or whatever it is that existed before as canon, and this is the way that it happened. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, they defeated Zarkon back in the day, the lions went into hibernation, and this was the new generation, as opposed to just a different take on it?
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I mean,
who knows if they're actually going to do it? But apparently, they're going to be new planets, new powers, and more secrets and all that up. But apparently, they only have three young cadets, so I don't understand what the three cadets are going to do, because there's five lions. Right. I'll form the head. So, Dyna Thrusters activate. Yeah, the whole nine yards. If you're of the right age, you remember Voltron. And even if you're not, you know, you can remember that. And then even taken more from our childhood, Thundercats is coming back. They have epic trailers. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, but did you see it?
I saw pieces of it.
It looks more Lord of the Rings than Thundercats.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It's epic on a scale that I don't even know how to describe. Are we men or are we cats? Well, you're kind of both. But, I'm really hoping that this is also kind of like a new generation thing, even though they keep a lot of the different characters similar. They have Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. They're both younger. They kind of cheesed up the animation a little bit.
I think they did. I think they could have done a lot better with the animation.
It's a style that's kind of popular now. It's kind of put forth by Avatar, although Avatar is a fantastic series if you've never seen it. Yes, I'm talking about cartoons and I'm 31 years old, but you know, this is, I don't care. I love cartoons and I would rather watch cartoons than any reality show out there. But you know, we'll see where the Thundercats reboot goes, because my son's seen the old ones as well, and he still thinks they're the real one too. So as far as my kid is understands, we have everything but the Nintendo in the house. So so I'm slowly working him way up to popular culture. Okay. All right, next little thing we got for you here. Should have been under art, but it actually took me a really long time to find this. Steampunk is nostalgia for things that didn't happen. So you can be faux nostalgic for the entire year to read the line directly off the Caffeination show notes. But this is a great little one-page calendar. It's for 2011. It has the skull and a top hat, gears, brass, everything but wood. And it has the full calendar year across the bottom. I thought it was really cool. Are you into steampunk at all?
A little bit. I'm starting to get into it, yeah.
I mean, I've been talking about steampunk for a couple of years, and it's just starting to gain traction. And it's not like I want to be like, oh, I knew it when. I knew it when it was just a whole concept. Now they have steampunk parties, steampunk-themed weddings. I like a lot of it, but the people who take it to extents and, like, they live in a steampunk house, I really don't like. I don't know what else to say. It's just they're just weirder than I'm prepared to accept into my life. And you know, I know some weird people. I'm no stranger to flying the freak flag myself. But I mean, whoa, there's some people who really take it to extremes out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, next thing up. Do you have a zombie plan, Steve?
No. I exercise cardio wise for a reason.
Okay.
When zombies come, I'm gone.
Okay, but where are you going?
Don't have a plan on that. Just all
right.
Going.
So you're not in my zombie crew. I'm sorry. I can't have somebody who doesn't have a plan.
No plan, just run.
But, you know, everybody needs to have a zombie plan, so we're going to work on Steve. We're also going to work on updating the Magnus Mortis Opus, the Caffeination zombie plan, so you need to write in and tell me what your zombie plan is, even as short, simple things. We're going to make the end-all and be-all of zombie plans. We're going to make one for Steve, because Steve doesn't have one. So he's good at cardio, so you work that into your plan if you want. But we're going to work on this, and we're probably going to do it for the rest of April to see what we can do. And you just mention it on and off. Just send in your zombie plan suggestions to caffeination@gmail.com. Put zombie in the headline and just put a couple little quick tips. Things that you might think would help us in the eventuality that a zombie apocalypse actually were to happen. And then at the end, we will produce a new poster of the Magnus Mortis Opus, the everything having to do with zombies. So we can help Steve, and I'll print one out for him, and he can hang it on his wall.
That's exactly how I'm waiting for it.
But that all rounds into the fact that we have up here one of the most interesting slingshots I have ever seen. There's some dude who lives in the middle of Pennsylvania, and without saying too much, there's a lot of rural in between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And, yeah, there's a lot of farms... A lot of suspenders and a lot of cattle. And this gentleman apparently used his time to create a machete slingshot. Two words that I never thought would ever end up in the same sentence.
I can't even imagine it.
And it works. The only thing that really, I guess, I've seen pictures of it, and I was like, okay, wow, that looks just like a slightly longer, like, rifle-sized slingshot. But did you play the video?
I played the video, and I'm...
That's like a pole. That's a pole arm. Thing's like a 7 foot long slingshot that has a rifle butt end on the back of it. And he shows you one of his battle wounds where he shot it and it apparently misfired and sliced his forearm. Dude, my hat's off to you. This is crazy. And sometimes crazy is awesome. Other times it's throwing a full sharpened machete at whatever you plan to do. And damned if he doesn't. So there you go. If you'd like to find out how to make your own machete slingshot, you can head on over to Caffeination and pick that one out. Next little item we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast is...
would be Parkour in Dreamland. And I would have to say, this would probably be, as I'm thinking now, my zombie plan right here.
Well, part of it anyway.
And what I'm talking about is... if you ever tried for, if you ever seen anybody, you know, do this sort of parkour, or it's also known as free running, somewhat, there is differences. And what it is what I'm talking about here is in California, a place has started to teach you how to free run, how to do all the different tricks in a safe environment. And they have teachers and lessons, and, you know, it's actually, I think it's a great idea. But what drew my attention even more was the fact that it, is similar to look like Super Mario. The blocks, the, you know, stages, everything like that. And, yeah, if I go out to California, I'm definitely going to give this a shot. I mean, just make sure, if you have a chance, stop by their website at TempestAcademy.com and give it a shot.
So is free running that crazy thing where you see all the guys from Russia originally, where they're jumping around from walls and jumping off, like, ledges that look far too high? And
oh, yeah, like, they're... like, they have no fear in the world. And
it just looks so, like, liberating. And when you watch the video over there, it's really kind of impressive, the stuff they have, that they're able to do. And I asked Steve right up front, because I'm a big gentleman, can fatties do this? And what did they say?
Oh, yeah, for starters, yeah. Just have your running shoes. That's all they ask.
All right, so fatty going to run. All right, so I might be able to get my big rear in motion on that one. All right, now the next little thing we got for you here is the one of the last little things here. Kickstarter is a fantastic website. Now, Bart Anonymous, Paul Barton sent me in a fantastic thing, Desktop Trebuchets. He wanted to start a little throwdown on Twitter, and we were trying to figure out how this would work. If you head on over to Kickstarter, you can actually find out. Kickstarter is an interesting idea, because if you see things that you like, see projects and stuff you like, you can fund them. You can actually help these people make their dreams a reality. And the cool thing about it is that if the dream doesn't reach the set goal by the amount of days that they say, you get your money back. And the cool thing about the Trebuchet one, which I'm trying to get up enough coin to actually donate, want to make sure I can do this without hurting the fam, I'd like to get my own set of trebuchets. I think that would just be really cool. They're pre-cut laser trebuchets, medieval siege weapons, desk-sized, and we could have a little trebuchet battle down here in the Caffeination Lair during the thing. So maybe during a game room segment to disrupt Steve even further, other than making funny jokes and faces in the background, I could let loose a volley.
Yeah, I'll have to wear a helmet.
I think that would be really cool. The other thing is somebody actually contacted me and wanted me to help fund a musical for Coffee the Musical. And then there's another one which I'm actually really enthused about, Coffee Julie's. This one's actually going to happen. They only asked for $9,500. With 25 days left, they have $107,000 pledged. So in 25 days from now, this thing is going to happen. So if you head on over there, you can actually check out the video. This is kind of a segment into our next section, the food and caffeinated bits. These are metal coffee beans that you drop into your travel mug, and it reduces the temperature to a certain level and then helps the coffee stay warm longer. So this way it's not scalding hot when you drink it. So as I'm drinking my coffee right here, I had to let it cool down a little bit because it was nice and piping hot as we came downstairs. But this would actually take that and, you know, boil it down to a chemical reaction, more of a physics lesson than anything else. It accepts the thermal energy in and then helps radiate it back out. It's kind of like the whiskey stones that I talked a while about. So you know, maybe we can buy the whiskey stones and Steve could try it out on his gin and tonic. I could try it out on my scotch, and we could have an inebriation episode.
Oh, just let me know when to start.
You'll have to request off work for that one.
Yeah.
I ain't coming in. I'll tell you where you can stick this job.
Exactly.
And you can take that, and you can talk about the Romulan Ale.
And the Romulan Ale is the next one. You know what? I love Star Trek. I think it's a great series. They have a problem with canon that a lot of other things do, too. I mean, you know, things just fly off the handle. Unfortunately, Romulan Ale, as it is being sold by ThinkGeek, is an energy drink. Yeah, this is a fail. I'm sorry, you had a Star Trek themed bar in Las Vegas. You had Quark's Bar, where they would serve everything from a warp core breach to a who knows what else. And I never even made it to there. Quark's Bar is actually closed now, unfortunately. But the first consumer product that you put out, bearing the name of the blue alcohol that is drunk all throughout the many different series, and you make it an energy drink. That's a fail. I'm sorry, that's a fail right up along with the Simpsons Duff energy drink. What is Duff, Steve?
Duff, that's beer. Duff is...
Duffman.
That's right. Duffman beer is from the Simpsons.
I mean, what would Lisa have said if she fell into a river of Duff and it was energy drink? It wouldn't have been, I am the Lizard Queen. It would have been something crazy. She would have been off her nut. Even more so, she would have been twitching. But no, this is... energy drink, you're trying to market to a younger crowd. If it's Duff beer, market it as Duff beer. Work with Budweiser, rebrand the cans. It's right. Supposed to be the everyman's beer. You know what? I would love if Family Guy came out with the Pawtucket Pete Ale and they worked with Pabst Blue Ribbon, because that would be fantastic. And then you could also have the episode of Family Guy where they're talking about the being drunk at work. Yeah, I'll tell you where to go. Why do you always close your... I mean, there's so many different things that could go on with this. But you know what? You got to have the stones and work up to actually releasing alcoholic beverages. You're not marketing them to kids. The cartoons themselves aren't marketed to kids.
Right.
So, all right. The next little thing we have for you here is a salt and pepper battery shaker. I just put them out there because I thought they were pretty awesome. I like the salt and pepper things that have a lot of different salt shops rather put out there. However, $12 for a set of shakers, well, I'm not really a fan of the price point. It's just a little too high. Maybe like eight. I think I would probably go eight.
$7-$8 is a good price.
For novelty shakers. The only really cool thing is the power level on the side actually is a clear window and shows you the level of pepper and salt that's actually in them. So that's a little bit of a redeeming quality, which is something that's actually seriously lacking from most of the available salt and pepper shakers that are out there. So a little bit of a design upgrade, a little bit of a problem with the actual working of it. Now, the only thing I'm going to tell you, next week we're going to have more coffee, including the tragedy that actually befell my office coffee pot. We had to send a sailor off into the briny blue over this past week, and I'm still in mourning. However, I'm going to have a nice little article up explaining the entire process. I would like to, however, direct you over to a fantastic site that I just recently found called Dear Coffee, I Love You. It's a great blog, incredibly designed, and some of the best part about it is that there's actually a really good art section on the one side, so much so that I like the way that their art story actually shows up. I think I'm going to be putting some of my prints on Society 6 as well. But they have Enjoy Black Coffee. There is no X in espresso. Espresso is not a roast. It's a bean or a blend. Thank you. There's so many different things that are just public service announcement to the people at large. And I love everything from their logo to the content that they have up there, so you owe it to yourself to head on over there. If you're jonesing for some good coffee content, you could do no worse than doing that. And then finally, I said I wasn't going to talk about Kopi Luwak here on the podcast again. Do you know what Kopi Luwak is, Steve?
I don't.
A Kopi Luwak is poop coffee, Steve.
Oh, jeez.
So you're not a coffee fan to begin with.
I'm safe.
And there's no poop coffee in the near future.
Nah.
I've had poop coffee.
God bless you.
Well, nobody else will. What we got going here, for the long and the short of this, for those of you who haven't seen the bucket list, we have a palm civet, which is kind of like a giant tree cat. It runs around eating coffee cherries, and it poops the coffee cherries out. Then people collect the poop off the floor, and the beans, the coffee beans themselves, do not get digested at all. In fact, they're still in their safe little cases that actually exist under the fruit. They wash them off, they remove the cases, then they wash them off again, and then they roast them, then they dry them, and then they grind them, and you drink it. It is incredibly expensive. The only problem is this is a full-on how-to from soup to nuts, and you're not going to like where the nuts came from. And this is over at ineedcoffee.com, and it is a wonderful little thing. The only thing is I kept looking at the actual pre-processed beans, and they look a lot like a Baby Ruth. And I can't get that image out of my head.
I'm going to vomit.
I don't think I can eat a Baby Ruth again without thinking of that lovely little palm civet. Yes, the coffee was good. No, it is not $50 a pound, good or even more. But, Yeah, so if you wonder where coffee comes from, sometimes it doesn't come from a pretty place. Thank you ever so much for sticking with us here on the this episode of the Caffeination Podcast. A little bit of potty humor at the end never really hurt anybody. We kind of tread lightly on that one. Yeah. There's so many other ways that could have gone.
Oh, yeah.
So this has been Caffeination number 478. The Hardy Art edition here, Towels from Heaven, whatever you want to call it, to bring back up a joke from earlier. As if you can't tell, we have fun doing this show together. Hopefully you have fun listening to it. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, remember your zombie plans need to come in to caffeination@gmail.com. titled zombie and anything else you feel like putting in there. We got to help Steve stay alive in the eventuality of a zombie apocalypse, and we want to make sure everybody else does as well. So you can send that email to paul@caffeination.com for any comments, feedback, suggestions, or hate mail, or you can send it to
steve@caffeination.com.
You can get in touch with us at Twitter at caffeination, or twitter.com/caffeination and twitter.com/
Lost Fears.
All right, and there you go, and here we are. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Thank you ever so much, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.